Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast, where you'll hear the Christ Fellowship preaching team getting ready for Sunday morning. We'll talk through the sermon topic and pause a few times to hear directly from the Word of God. Our goal is to help you connect with the Bible and find hope and guidance for your life. I'm your host and women's pastor, Lisa Scheffler, along with Senior Pastor Bruce Miller, Senior Associate Pastor Jaime Gonzalez, and Anna Campus Pastor Mark Wyatt. We're wrapping up our series, Greater Than, Experiencing Christ in Colossians, by taking a look at Paul's final words in chapter 4. We'll be talking about prayer, mission, and ministry, and sharing our biggest takeaways from this amazing letter. All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. We are back. Sorry that we missed last week, and I'm sure it would have been a really good week, but Lisa had a dental emergency and was in no shape to do a podcast last week. So, yeah, we had to cancel. Jaime is not with us today, unfortunately, but we're going to press on without him. We're excited to come back for the last sermon of Colossians, guys. Can you believe we've made it through the whole book?
I hate for it coming to a close. I want Colossians to keep going. I'm ready for a chapter 5 of Colossians.
I know. I always, when we do a book like this, I always get a little, I don't know, like sad at the end. Like, right. Oh man, this has been so good. And it's coming to a close. Well, we hope you guys feel that way too. But we're excited to dive into the last week. And at the very end, we'll get some final thoughts on the whole book.
Colossians 4, 2-4. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should.
I think it's a neat tie to the way we started the book, right? Which was Colossians 1:3, where he says, Paul starts out saying, we always thank God for you, because we've heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love you have for all of God's people. So I love sort of the chain here of how the Colossian Christians were the result of prayer, right? And they were the result of Paul sharing the gospel probably with Epaphras and him going to Colossae and sharing the gospel. And now Paul's saying, hey, now you guys have grown in your faith, so let's turn it around and pray that the gospel will continue to go forward. So it's just this beautiful sort of cycle of what we hope to see in the world.
I love comparing the beginning and ending of books like this, or letters, and the prayer is there at the beginning and end. Thankfulness is there at the beginning. We thank, as you said, we thank God, and then he's giving, calling us to be thankful. And then grace, when he opens saying grace and peace to you, and then he's going to end the book, his last words are grace.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. And you know, thankfulness, I had never noticed this until this time studying it, but it appears at least in every chapter at least once. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of this undercurrent in the whole book of this idea of being thankful. Okay, so he tells us to be devoted to prayer. Bruce, help us a little bit with that Greek word for devoted. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's talking about being persistent in prayer. And so many of us, I think, sadly, are haphazard in our prayers, or it's circumstantial. It's when there's a crisis, when we have to cry help to God, which is still good to pray. Or it's perfunctory. It's, you know, prayer before a meal, which is also good. But Paul's talking about something more than that. He's talking about continuing in prayer, to being devoted in prayer. So it's something that's a regular habit of his life, of our lives. And there's an emotional intensity to that. The word devoted is good. He is devoted to prayer. So he probably had regular, as a with his Jewish background, regular times of prayer every day that he prayed to the Lord on a consistent basis, and he was persisting in prayer.
Yeah, so Mark, why do you think so many of us struggle in the area of prayer? You know, as Bruce said, sometimes we're kind of haphazard about it. Why is that?
Well, for me and people that I know, there's so many distractions that take place in life. You get busy with so many different things. And a lot of times those things that distract you are actually things that are good things.
Sure.
Services that you do to God or the people around you. And so that can happen. I think, too, as we look at this idea of being devoted to prayer, it is actually a natural outgrowth of how you see Christ. If he's utterly supreme and utterly sufficient for life, then that's going to be a natural outgrowth of being persistent, Bruce. It's this devotion, it's emotional devotion to this one. And I think a lot of times what keeps us is we get distracted about who he is,
mm-hmm.
and our deep need to be in fellowship with him.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, I mean, Paul has over and over shown us that Christ is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like throughout Colossians, he keeps explaining to us, telling us that we are in Christ. Christ is in us. He is our life. We have died to our former lives, and we live in Christ, and that together we're God's holy people. And so all of these things show that Christ should be the center, mm-hmm. but he can't be the center if we don't have any communication with him.
Right.
If he's just an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's easy to get distracted. And I think sometimes, I just know from some people that are in my life right now and some of the stuff they're going through, I think we can get complacent about prayer, but also doubt can creep in a little bit when things don't happen on our timeline, or we've mm-hmm. prayed for things and they don't seem to be answered.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that in like we're being petulant, like God's not doing what I want him to do. Sometimes it's really good prayers. Like we're praying for someone in our life to be saved. We're praying for healing for someone we know that's in a lot of excruciating pain. And so we want to see God answer those prayers. And when he doesn't, I think sometimes we go, well, I mean, we may not say it out loud, but we think prayer doesn't really matter.
There are people I've been praying for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And this verse encourages me to continue
yes.
to pray for them
yes.
for the rest of my life.
Yes. And because we don't have God's perspective on things. We have to trust and have faith mm-hmm. in his will and his timing.
I think there's a danger to distraction. I too get distracted in prayers. I've been convicted this week as I was studying this. That word watchful can also be translated alert, and it's used in guard duty of a guard being alert and watchful for danger. And I realize that when other people are praying, especially in a group setting, boy, my mind can tend to wander, and I feel convicted about that. Nobody knows because you can't see my mind, but I know. And this week, the Spirit has convicted me through this passage about that. And as I've thought of the word alert, I've realized I'm not being conscious enough of the spiritual danger.
Mm-hmm.
That there are dangers all around us of temptation, the world, mm-hmm. flesh, the devil, and prayer is a help.
Yes.
Both for me and for the other people I'm praying for. And so that call to being alert, both I'm thinking about not letting my mind wander, but I'm also thinking about a way I might have been recently become complacent about spiritual danger.
Yes.
Not being alert enough mm-hmm. about the danger that lies around us.
Yeah, and just being open to hearing the Spirit and letting the Spirit help guide your prayers and help you notice things around to be thankful for. You know, I often mm-hmm. pray that my spiritual blinders would be removed.
Right.
And that I would see God working and acting in the world.
I think just this last week, when we just mentioned thankfulness, I think thankfulness helps us understand, hey, that being thankful is not something I deserve. That was something outside me that came. It's not something I accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
That very thing makes us reach out to God. This last week, some just blessings that came in to my family. And there were things were going on in my kids' life. And I'm like, God, this didn't have to happen. This is a gift from you.
Mm.
And I just had to take time and just say thank you. You have really had such great compassion on me that I've been able just to even see these things.
Mm-hmm.
That Thanksgiving actually drew me to pray to God in a deeper way than I normally do.
Yeah. Well, and we are in the month of Thanksgiving.
That's
well,
right.
Speaking of.
2 weeks from now will be our annual Thanksgiving sharing service.
Right. November 21st.
The Sunday right before Thanksgiving. So be thinking about what you're thankful for and what God's done in the life of our church to share. And sometimes, even though when you're going through hard times, you can be thankful. That theme of thankfulness, Lisa, being in every chapter is striking when we remember that Paul wrote this from prison.
Right.
He's in a Roman prison, which was not a nice place.
No.
And yet he's thankful. And which reminds me that in all circumstances, we can give thanks.
So before we leave the topic of prayer, give everybody out there a couple of quick tips of things that have helped you in your prayer life that might help them to be more devoted to prayer.
One thing I do to keep myself focused when I'm praying by myself is I journal. And I literally write the prayer to God on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Dear God, dear Father, and then I'm writing out my prayer. And that helps me to stay focused.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mark?
I'm the same way. you know, I have to get to a place where I'm very communicating to God in a very honest way. And what keeps me from being distracted, now I'm old school. I have actually a book and I write.
I would do that, but my writing's so illegible, I can't read it the next day.
Well, you see, I can't read any of that either, but I figure that God can, you know,
God can decipher your handwriting.
But really, my prayers, especially if they're intense or I think it clears my thinking and it actually keeps me focused because, man, I'm my mind oftentimes like a teenager with a remote in their hand. It just goes everywhere.
Yeah.
That's really helpful to me.
Yeah, that's a great tip because you have to slow yourself down to write.
Absolutely.
So it slows your thinking down and it makes you more intentional
right.
about getting it out. You know, for me, I'm one of these people that I know, Bruce, you're like very routine oriented and that really works for you. I am not. I can't stand to do the same thing every day. I need variety. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like finding some different ways to approach prayer helps, like taking a walk outside or even just changing the place that I usually do my prayer time, like sitting outside versus sitting inside. The other thing is I've recently discovered I really enjoy some of the more like published prayers, like the Book of Common Prayer or the Valley of Vision, which was the old Puritan prayers. Okay. And sometimes those help me expand and think of different things to pray or different approaches to prayer, different perspectives to pray from. And it just seems to enrich my prayer life. So that's a good thing to you. And I want to tell you, I did pray my way through my dental emergency.
Good.
Root canals will cause prayer to come from.
Well,
prayer.
And I wasn't even praying for myself. It just, you know, you're in that chair forever. And I was getting a little panicky because I get a little claustrophobic and you feel trapped. I just started praying for anyone who came to my mind. And that helps me pass the time. And I wasn't very organized about it because I couldn't be. But any little flash of a person that came in my mind, I was like, I prayed for them. And that helped me get through it. So
another tip to prayer is have dental emergencies and you can improve your prayer life.
Well, or if you avoid dental emergencies, if you can. But if you do find yourself in one, prayer works. Okay, well, let's talk about kind of the focus of Paul's prayer here. Because Paul, and as much as God invites us to pray about everything in our lives, Paul is specifically asking the Colossians to pray for what?
He's really focused on opportunity and clarity for the mission, for the gospel, the message, he calls it, of the mystery of Christ, which we know is Christ himself, that we would have, God would give us opportunities to share Christ and clarity when we have the conversation.
I love this quote from one of the commentaries. It says, mission defines the church as God sent people and is therefore at the very core of the church's reason and purpose for being and should shape all that the church is and does. So it's not just something that we's kind of on the side. It's not like one little department or one little program in our church. It's like, no, we are on mission for God. That is part of what it means to be a Christian. Is to figure out what opportunities God has given us to expand his kingdom.
Right. And he says, brace for an open door.
Yes.
Right. So it is externally focused. It's not, the arrows are pointing out, not in.
Yeah. Because there's people that we want to know this message. We want to hear this message. And Paul certainly did. I mean, he's in prison. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but my prayer would be, hey, can you pray I get out of prison?
It's open the prison doors. And right. Yeah, Paul's more concerned about opening doors for the gospel than opening the prison doors. And yeah, I think it's one of the few things that we will not be able to do in heaven. In heaven, we'll be able to grow in maturity and worship, but we won't be able to evangelize.
Colossians 4, 5 and 6. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Let's talk about these words that Paul uses here. He talks about being wise, and he talks about seizing opportunities. And, you know, just to remind us all of the context of the first century, it was not easy to be a Christian in the first century. You were definitely a tiny minority. I mean, I was stunned when we did Romans that in a city of 1 million people, which Rome was at the time, they think at most there were 200 Christians.
Wow.
I mean, that's astounding. So, and they faced a lot of hostility. I mean, you know, I know sometimes we feel like the world looks at us and thinks we're weird, but boy, in the first century, there was a lot of hostility to the way Christians right. practiced their faith. So they certainly needed to be wise and for them to seize opportunities in order to share the message, they had to be wise about it. So, but let's fast forward to the 21st century. What does it mean wise and seizing opportunities look like for us today?
You know, like the word thankfulness, I was struck that the word wisdom or wise also appears mm-hmm. in all four of the chapters in Colossians. Mm-hmm. And so it ties into the wisdom of Christ, not just generic good ideas.
Yeah.
But it is also that we would wisely act toward, it says outsiders, meaning people outside the faith, people who are not Christians. And I think maybe today in the 21st century, there's so many bad examples, or at least the media puts yeah. those out there. So we hear about the bad examples more
yes. yeah.
of people that are foolish and rude in talking about Christ that are really counterproductive, certainly not gracious.
Yes, who just tell people flat out, you're going to hell.
Right.
Yeah, not seasoned with salt, that's seasoned with sulfur or something. I love the translation of seizing opportunities that I read in one of these commentaries as buying up or purchasing up. And he said, snatch up every opportunity like it's a bargain. And boy, don't yeah. we love a bargain? I can't tell my husband how much money I save him every time I go shopping. I'm like, but you don't understand. These were buy one, get one half off. So I basically saved you lot of money.
You saved a lot of money.
Yes. But he does the same thing at REI. Yep. So I think we don't necessarily look at opportunities to talk about Christ in the same way. We don't have that sort of sense of urgency of wanting to snatch up a bargain like we should. Well, what about this idea that Paul has, that he talks about our conversations and what our conversations should be like. And he says they should be seasoned with grace, full of grace and seasoned with salt. Mark, what do you think that means?
Today in this, our charged environment, it's so easy not to be this. So we have to be extra wise and being gracious. I mean, yeah, gracious speech is one that is not there to promote emotional responses or negative emotional responses. It's gracious to the people in a sense that I think you talk to people in a way that they matter.
Yes.
The way that this you're saying you're careful about the way that you say certain things in order to open a door for them to hear actually what you're having to say.
Yeah.
You can put up walls really quickly today, and it's easy to do that.
Yes.
It's the person that's wise that goes the other side of the fence on that. And I think that your grace, your speech seasoned with salt, it needs to taste good.
Right? Yes.
It's a good way to do that. I think it's important to how we communicate to people that we're kind to them.
Yes. And patient.
Patient.
Compassionate.
I mean, he's already said these. That we're to clothe ourselves with compassion.
Yes.
Kindness. Humility. A gracious person is a humble person when you communicate to somebody else.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and maybe earlier in my life, I overwhelm people with spiritual truth. And salt is good in a small dose.
Yes.
But which I have done, the salt shaker top wasn't screwed on very well,
yeah.
and it fell off, and I dumped salt into my food. That wasn't so good.
Yes.
It was overly seasoned with salt. And so I think in our conversations with people, sometimes it's a dash of spiritual truth. It's a small comment. I have a friend whose wife has just gone through cancer treatments and gone through a surgery successfully, and I had prayed for her, and I said to him, how's she doing? And well, she's healing. She's about to get the port out. And I said, well, that's really an answer to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That was my salt.
Yes.
That's all I really said is, that's really an answer to prayer, to which he made no comment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's those sorts of things that are small comments along the way that bring spiritual truth to people that can be very natural, not contrived. If someone's in sharing some trouble in their life, to be able to say, hey, would it be okay if I prayed for you?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there's a verse that's always helped me when I've been in times like that, and share it.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you don't even have to say it's a verse. You can say the spiritual truth without quoting the Bible, mm-hmm. without saying chapter verse.
I mean, what you guys have just said is really at the heart of our vision and the idea of meaningful conversations.
That's right.
Where we help people feel known and loved. that spiritual truth that you dropped in there, Bruce, probably had a lot more impact because you have a relationship with this person. He knows you. You inquired about him and his family. And over time, this person knows that your intentions are good. Mm-hmm. And so building that relationship, helping that person feel known and heard and loved and respected, all of that is so key to the conversations you build on top of that relationship. And I think for me, as someone who likes to talk, shocking, learning to ask good questions has been probably one of the best things I've learned mm-hmm. later in my life, is close my mouth, think about the other person, and ask them questions, help, you know, draw them out, because it's then that you hear what's really going on behind the scenes with them. And then you can have the opportunity to maybe ask them even a more probing question that opens the door for a little bit more deep spiritual conversation. You have to be patient and kind right. and let the conversation flow naturally, not come out with a sales pitch.
I think that what you're saying is so true. Asking questions, and the people, when they get the idea that you really want to know the answer, yes. they start talking to you.
Yes.
I remember a gentleman was several years ago. He was quite an intellectual. He was an agnostic. He was well-educated. And we just started meeting from time to time, and I just said, you know, listen, I'm not going to try to shove anything down your throat. Just tell me what you're thinking, and I'll tell you what I'm thinking. And so I asked questions, had him read a book, and we just had a conversation. Uh-huh. You know, not all of his questions got answered, but at the end of our time together, which is about 6 weeks period of time, he put his trust in Christ. And I asked him, you know, how'd this come about? And he said, I think all of my questions got answered in the process of him actually verbalizing the things yes. he was thinking. So it just created a huge amount of open doors to talk to this guy.
Yeah. And look, again, we need to not just pretend we're genuinely interested in people. We need right. to actually be genuinely right. interested in people. And why wouldn't we be? I mean, that's part of what Colossians is all about, right? Mm-hmm. Is we recognize the supremacy of Christ and as the creator of all things and people created in the image of the creator. We want to get to know them because right. there's, you know, God loves these people. We want to see what he has placed in them.
Colossians 4:7-18. Tychicus will tell you the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea, and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
So we get to the end of the book, and I'll be honest, truth-telling time, I used to just kind of skim over the ends of Paul's letters because he just mentions a lot of people I don't know anything about. But what's really interesting is you can know something about these, mm-hmm. and I think Colossians has some names that are automatically recognizable to us, to many of us. Mm. So let's take a moment, and we won't go through everybody that he mentions here, but let's go over a few of them. Bruce, tell us a little bit about Tychicus.
Yeah, he names 10 people, and it's what I love is it's a whole mix. He had said there's not slave or free, Jew or Gentile, men or women in Christ, and he names Jews and Gentiles and slave and free and men and women. It's just a beautiful picture of the body of Christ, and we're all part of it. And so this one guy, Tychicus, he one of the lines I love about him, well, he calls a number of people here dear and faithful and fellow servant, but he says he's going to come for the purpose that he may encourage your hearts.
Yes.
Encourage your hearts. And Paul had said in chapter 2 that that's part of what his mission was, is to encourage their hearts. And I think about our mission, our vision here at Christ Fellowship, and the idea of being Christ Fellowship encouragers, that we want everybody to be encouraging each other.
Yes.
Everybody needs someone. I need someone to encourage me.
Amen.
Encourage my heart, and to then encourage someone else. And I think if we're all doing that, what Tychicus was doing, gosh, we'd strengthen each other.
Yes. What about you, Mark? Who's your favorite on the list here?
Epaphras. I am drawn to Epaphras because Paul didn't know these people, but Epaphras was most likely a convert of his ministry in Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped start the church of Colossae and then the other city that was there, Laodicea. And, you know, when you invest in somebody's life and they continue to go farther and beyond you, that is, to me, and I'm sure Paul was so happy that he saw his life being lived out through him, his influence of his ministry of Christ coming through him to this man. And he cares about other people. And he wasn't a professionally religious guy. He wasn't actually paid to do this.
Sure.
He was a volunteer. Yeah. He started two different churches in a time when it was very hard to do that. The devotion of this man to other people, you'll notice that he wrestles in prayer for them.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has living out the supremacy of Christ and his sufficiency in life because he's living like Christ among his people. And to me, that to see somebody like that is just, to me, it's empowering.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how God's changed this person. And he's recorded in the Word of God for all time.
Yep. The thing is, I mean, we all think of Paul and, you know, the Apostle Paul, but Paul didn't do any of this alone.
No.
He had all these co-workers working with him and that he really relied on. You can sense that in these personal parts of the letter, how important these people were to mm-hmm. Paul. And my favorite is Onesimus because, first of all, he was a slave, mm-hmm. right? His name literally means useful. So he and Onesimus was an incredibly common name for slaves because mm-hmm. they weren't regarded as anything more than tools.
Right.
They were just like something you owned, another possession that was useful to you. Mm-hmm. So here's a man who had no identity. He was just a tool to a master.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Paul calls him a brother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about the miraculous saving grace of the gospel. And Paul calls him a brother and sends him. And here he is an important part of Paul's ministry.
I love it when he says he's one of you.
He's one mm-hmm. of you. Yes, he's my dear brother. And you know that was intentional. He's like, let me remind you guys, lest you look down on Onesimus. This is my dear brother. And if you guys want to know more about Onesimus, you should read the letter to Philemon,
mm-hmm.
which is fascinating. Right. Fascinating to see the way Paul subverts the whole institution of slavery by continually emphasizing this family relationship.
Right. And he tells them to treat him as you would treat me.
Yes.
A Roman citizen and an apostle.
Yep. Yep. So Paul lived out. These weren't just slogans he said about there is no Jew or Gentile, slave mm-hmm. nor free. Paul lived it out and believed wholeheartedly that that's what the gospel did for people. And of course, I have to mention Nympha. She was the woman who had probably the Church of Laodicea meet in her home.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know much about her except that. But it's just, again, Paul mentions over and over in his letters women who were his coworkers. And that should just be empowering to all women that, hey, you know, we are needed in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know her exact role in the church, but she hosted the church in her home. Probably she owned that home
mm-hmm.
and likely was wealthier to own a home, and no husband's mentioned. But it's highly likely that she played some leadership role of one kind or another in the church and was engaged in ministry. And it just reminds me again that everyone, men, women, slave, free, Greek, Gentile, the church is about all of us being involved together. And it's not just something you come attend on a Sunday. You're not an audience. You're even the word congregation is a little struggle to me. It's really we're a body, the Bible talks about. We're a mm-hmm. family, and everybody has a role to play in the family. Every member of the body has a role to play, and all of us are to be involved in the great mission that you mm-hmm. were mentioning, Lisa, that quote, mm-hmm. that the church is on mission, not just the pastor or the leaders or the staff, the church, which is all the people. We mm-hmm. are all on mission. It got me thinking, what if the Bible written about Christ Fellowship and Colossians chapter 4 was naming people? Because these by name.
Yep.
What if your name would appeared in Colossians chapter 5? Or
Christ Fellowship chapter
Christ
5.
Christ Fellowship, Fellowship chapter 5. What would the phrase or phrases be about you?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I could go on and on. I think it's fascinating and so encouraging to me that Mark... and that Barnabas and Paul had a kind of a fuss over right. Mark. Mm-hmm. It's recorded in Acts. And here they are. Mark is mentioned. So you can tell there was some sort of reconciliation there. Right. And that's just, ministry's hard. And I see that all the time in the ministries I've been a part of. It's just sometimes people end up in conflict. It's just always so encouraging to know that God can bring reconciliation to those relationships. And we just don't give up on people.
Right. And then Mark was used later to start the church in Egypt.
Yeah. And he wrote the Gospel of Mark, right. most likely. And traditionally, that's assumed. And then, of course, Luke is mentioned here. We could go on, but we won't. Okay. So this is our end of our letter, our beloved letter. Give me your biggest takeaway from this letter as a person, not just as a pastor, but as a Christ follower. What was the most encouraging thing to you and your walk with the Lord in this letter?
I think for me, it's just I continue to look through this book and the idea that the way that Paul presents Jesus is just, it's mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. He's so big, and that it starts to change all the way that you perceive life itself. And so that, to me, I can't really get over that. And coming from where Paul had come from, I mean, as a Pharisee, for him to think this of Jesus and proclaim this, mm-hmm. I just can't get over that. And I think that's the most important part to me. Jesus is much bigger than I have any comprehension of. And that's why I need him.
Yeah. And that's why we serve him. And mm-hmm. that's why we do what we do. What about you, Bruce?
I've been thinking about wisdom and that all the wisdom's hidden in Christ. And then the prayer that Paul prayed in Colossians 1, that we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And I so want that. I want to please Christ, and I want the wisdom to please him well that comes from the Spirit that's hidden in Christ. So once again with you, Mark, just this thrilled all over again with Christ. Uh-huh. It's supremacy and sufficiency, but particularly for me in my own life, I'm praying every day for divine wisdom, Christ-like wisdom that comes from the Spirit so that I can live a life that pleases the Lord.
Yeah. I just have been really challenged to go deeper in prayer with the Lord, mm-hmm. to spend more time in prayer, you know, intentional time with prayer, but also in just daily life, you know, as I go through my day, just remembering to constantly be in prayer for people, for my own self, and just to recognize the role I play in the body of Christ, and just to continually pray that we would be knit together in love, mm-hmm. and that as God's holy people, we have this commitment to each other that I really, really want to see lived out. The possibilities, if we got this right, mm-hmm. if we really took Colossians to heart, mm-hmm. As the people of God, as the people of Christ's fellowship, I just see that God would bless that so much and do so much through us that would have eternal significance. Well, listener, what was your takeaway? We'd love to hear. You can always email me at lscheffler@cfhome.org. We'd love to hear from you. This is our first full series that we did, minus last week.
And we'd love feedback on how did it go. First time we've done the podcast through a series like Colossians. And so we'd love to know how to improve.
Yeah, please let us know. We'd love to get some feedback from you. And if you're enjoying the podcast and benefiting from it, please tell your friends. We love that. Give us a review on iTunes. That always helps boost us. Share this on your social media, Pastor's Pregame, and let people know about it. And let's if you're benefiting from it, there might be others who would as well. Well, guys, this has been great. I have loved talking about Colossians with you. I miss Jaime, though. I'm sad that he's not here for our last one for this series. We will continue, though, guys. Next week, we'll do something a little different because we're going to have a special speaker. So we're hoping next week's episode of the podcast, keep it under wraps because it's not all set up yet, but it'll be a nice surprise, I think, for our listeners. So, Bruce, would you like to pray for us?
I'd love to. Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you. We affirm your supremacy in the universe, your sufficiency for our lives. Lord, we praise you. You are the Lord Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. And we pray that you would open our eyes by the power of your Spirit to see you ever more clearly and live for you ever more fully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I did. I was with you every word there, Bruce.
You were alert.
I was alert. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.